blessing on the teachers of the youngsters, daughters that go out, and we pray your blessing on the rest of the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Kids Church, you guys are free to go. God bless you. Have a wonderful time. Going to read today from John 21 verse 18. The Word of God says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young," and this is Jesus speaking to Peter, "when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you to where you do not want to go." This he said to show what kind of death he was, to glorify God. After saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, and the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." And we've been looking at the wonderful picture, the wonderful way in which Jesus so patiently formed and shaped his disciples, and especially Peter. And sometimes he was so straightforward in his rebuke, and sometimes he was wonderfully, masterfully indirect with masterfully crafted questions, and all that went together with that. He would just chip away at Peter's rough edges and encourage his strengths, redirect his passions, and he worked like a master builder on the person of Peter. He was truly making Peter into the fisher of men, that at the very beginning of the call he said, I will make you. You don't have to be a fisher of men. I will make you a fisher of men. Peter was truly his workmanship, as we see in Ephesians 2 verse 10. A lovely, lovely passage. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We're reaching the end of our time where Peter was together with Jesus. Jesus was about to go up into heaven. And today we're looking at almost one of his last mentoring sessions before he would go and leave Peter, just in a different dispensation with the Holy Spirit filling the apostles and going out to do the mission. But Jesus is in this case, he's dealing with one of the old problems that seem to keep emerging amongst the apostles. And the comparison and competition. And it raised its head often. In Luke 22 verse 24, it says a dispute arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And then in Mark, and this is a great passage, Mark 9 verse 33, it says, "And then when they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you discussing on the way?' But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest." So you see, this was a common thing amongst the disciples, and I love this scene because they're having this argument, and I don't know whether Jesus overheard them or whether the Holy Spirit told them, but he bust them. He said, "Hey guys, what were you talking about?" Oh, and they didn't have a word to say because they were doing it again. They were having that jolly argument. "Oh no, I'm better than this. I've got greater gifting." They were comparing each other. They were competing, and they were jostling for like first position. We know that the two brothers asked their mom to go and say, "Hey, we want, when Jesus sits on the throne, we want the thrones on either side." They were always doing this, and Jesus tells them, "Guys, you've got it all wrong, because in my kingdom, it's not about who's first and who's the greatest, but actually who's the servant and who's last and who's the least of all." But we see this problem right at the end. It's still popping up. Jesus tells Peter, "Hey, Peter, this is the way you're going to end your life and martyrdom for me." And Peter looks at John. The good old thing comes up, and he says, "Lord, but what about him? What about like his ending? What about this? Is he also going to be martyred?" And Jesus is like, you can almost imagine, "Okay, Peter, I'm about to go now, and enough is enough. Okay, I'm gonna deal with this thing now. And Jesus says to him, Peter, just stop it now. Don't you worry about him. Stop this competing and comparing. You follow me. This is between you and me. And his purpose is none of your business. And your purpose is none of his business. And there are extra biblical, historical traditions that tell us 11 of the apostles, including the new one, were martyred. John was the only one that wasn't martyred. He was put into exile on the Isle of Patmos. But he did have probably a bit of a different ending. But Peter's saying, come on. Jesus said to Peter, come on, Peter. You've got to get free from this thing. Because you're not going to live in freedom and blessing while you're still doing this stuff. And he's teaching him a wonderfully freeing skill that leads to incredible mental health. And it's a problem that besets all the sons of Adam. From Cain and Abel, who ended up with a comparing match over their offering given to God that led to the first murder. But the human heart is very susceptible to this. And there's a beautiful truth that Peter is learning, that if he learns it, he can teach others to also be free from this thing. We find it often in Scripture. Galatians 6 verse 3 says this, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Verse 4, "Let each one examine his own work. Then he can take pride in himself and not compare himself to someone else. For each one must carry his own load." You know, this passage just explains it so clearly and so beautifully. And there's a few Greek words in that passage that really spoke to me that I wanted to highlight. One of them is where it says there in verse 4, not compare himself to someone else. The Greek word there, some translations put it as to compare himself to another. The Greek word there is heteros, which means something different. Heterosexual is different sexes. So there's a truth in that. How can you compare yourself to something different? It's so fundamental, it's so simple that you can't find a way to measure two things that are different. And I thought just for a mental picture, a very simple mental picture, like a Sunday school lesson for us to fix in our minds, how in the world do you compare these two delicious fruits? If you think about how they ripen, would you really be attracted to a bright orange banana or a pale yellow orange? There's just no comparison. You wouldn't want a big juicy fat, a round banana or a long skinny orange. There's no matrix to compare them. Some people like oranges more, some people like bananas more. And every single human and the way we wired and who we are is a unique and beautiful thing. There's no way we can measure that which is different. And it's such a simple picture, but still we do it. Still we do it. And the thing is, not everybody likes oranges, but not everybody likes bananas. And there's stuff about our personality, our wiring. Some people will love. Other people will not love as much. And that's the beauty of a body. That's why God makes a body. That's why God makes a fruit salad. So that we can minister to all different types of people with our different gifting. And to try to compare, for the orange to try to be like the banana, it's just silly. Very, very simple illustration, but just almost, how can you compare yourself to something that is different, that is heteros? And there's no matrix for it. Everybody has a different history. Everyone has a different gift. Everyone has a different weakness. We're all on different journeys. And we're at a different place in the journey. I like this quote. Don't compare your beginnings to someone else's middle. You could have just started on the journey of faith and look at someone that's been at it for 20 years and go, oh gosh, I'm nowhere near like them. But how can you do that? Because they've been on the journey. Everybody has a different starting place. Some of us, life deals us, Jay talks about the hand that God has dealt you. Sometimes life deals you a rough hand, and you start like that, and then you compare yourself to had someone who had a much more privileged and protected beginning, and you go, oh Lord. But the Lord's just going, hey, you made it through that. Well done, I'm so proud of you. Or the trauma or the storm that you've been through. You cannot compare yourself because you're in a different place in a different journey. And we must never fall into that trap. When we compare ourselves to others, we end up with a very messed up system of measurement. Every one of us is unique. Every one of us is beautiful. But the world, the system of measurement that the world tries to put upon us, and it uses social media, where we're comparing, when we're comparing in one of our down moments, we're looking at somebody else's holiday of a lifetime. In one of our, you know, when we are having a really hard time in life, we're seeing other people's celebrations. And it's so easy just to be forced into that comparison mode. And it can be very, very discouraging. But it's not a thing that we should do. Look at 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. It says, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves to someone. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with someone of those who are commending themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. And you can see here Paul's irony, the irony in Paul's tone. When they measure each other against each other, compare each other with each other, he says, it's stupid. Just to put it into more simplistic English, you're without understanding. A classic example of this was a historic example of the Nazis when they measured race. They wanted to find, that they could tell who was an Aryan and who was Jewish by the measurements of the skull. And I found this on the internet. They literally had these scales of skin color, eye color, head measurements to categorize the human race. And obviously for the Aryan, that was the master race. The Berliners were known for their humor, and during the war they joked. You had to be blonde like Hitler, you had to be tall like Himmler, who was a short little fella, and you had to be slender like Goering, who was a big fat fella. They saw through the lie, but what a terrible piece of human history when a matrix was made to measure people. And what I thought was quite funny in the next slide, I wonder what they would have got if they measured this guy's brain. Because of their foolish matrix, he fled their country, and in his incredible brain was a weapon, was the formula, was a weapon that they could have dominated the world with. But fortunately, it was a war-stopping weapon that went to the other side just because of their crazy, crazy thinking. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, guys, don't do this. Don't do this. It's messed up. It's messed up the world, and it's messed up nations, and it'll mess you up. Those who do it are without understanding. When we start comparing, the trap is we can think about ourselves. What we do is if we compare our strengths to other people's weaknesses, we start to feel better than other people. We start to feel more highly of ourselves than we ought. When we compare our weaknesses to other people's strengths, it can cause us to feel that we are far more worthless. We just don't compare. And both of those are wrong kinds of thinking. When we think better of ourselves, or when we think others are better than ourselves, it leads to insecurities, inferiorities, jealousy, envy, anxiety, stress, withdrawal from relationship due to the feeling of being unworthy and unable to contribute. And that's ultimately what the devil wants. He wants us withdrawing from relationship. He wants to break human relationship because of the great strength in that interaction. If we think of ourselves as better than others, it leads to arrogance, overconfidence, making bad decisions, and it ultimately leads to a breakdown in relationship when people withdraw from us because of our superiority and our arrogance. And again, that's what the devil wants. This quote I liked as well. Comparing yourself to others is an act of violence against your authentic self. And each one of us have been with the workmanship of God. We are created to carry something of the image of God, something of the gifting and the beauty of God. Each one of us unique, each one of us putting together the whole picture, not one of us carrying everything. And that uniqueness, when we compare, we do violence to that authentic self. When we try to be like other people, we do violence to the beautiful person that God made us to be. Only we can be that person. So Jesus says to Peter, Pete, come on now. Enough of this. I'm going soon. I'm leaving you to lead the team. Stop this. Stop looking to John. Stop asking about him. You worry about what I've called you to. And that brings us to the second Greek term that I found really interesting, was the word burden. Carry your own burden. And I think, I don't know if we can go back there, John. I didn't put that scripture in. Sorry, I'm a bit disorganized today. That word burden in there means each person must carry their own burden. What I liked about that is that the Greek carries the meaning of a freight or a cargo, a ship's lading, the cargo that's in a ship's hold. And I'm interested in ships, and I'm always intrigued by where's that ship from? Where's it come from? Where's it going? What has it brought to this port? What will it be taking away? What's in that cargo hold? What's its worth to the country? And every ship has a different itinerary. Every ship has different ports of call. Every ship has been through different storms. It's had to negotiate different shoals and shallows in dangerous situations. And every ship has loaded into its hull different treasures. Things of worth to take to other people. And I love that picture because what Jesus is saying to Peter is, Peter, what's in your hold is different to what's in John's. What's in your personality, what you've experienced, even the ups and the downs, all of those things are genuine treasures. And out of that, what I want you to do is go where I tell you to go and unpack from your hold. Your experiences, good and bad, and the comfort that you've received, and the lessons that you've learned, you'll be able to give to people uniquely. Some people won't identify with your challenges, but there will be people who desperately need to hear, you've been through the same storm that I've been through, and you found the answer, you found the comfort, you learned the lesson, and you'll be able to give them an incredible blessing. Each child has different gifts and abilities. A different service to offer to the body of Christ, a different service to offer to the world, a different glimpse of God's love and grace. And each hold is different. And we cannot compare those burdens. Only we can carry the burden of gifting and service that God has given to us. But let's treasure it. If you look across at the other ship and go, oh, no, not so excited about what I've got in the hold. Absolute nonsense. That's a lading. That's a cargo of blessing for God to bring in His sovereignty to other people. Take your eyes off John, says Jesus, and look to me. If we go to Corinthians 12, verse 10, verse 12 again, and it says, "Not that we dare classify." I'm lost. I don't know what is happening this morning. I'm all over the show. We're going back to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. "Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves to one another, they are without understanding." Paul's going, oh, no, that's not the way to do it. Then he goes on to say, "But we will not boast beyond limits. But we will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you." And here Paul in verse 13, he's looking at the correct way to measure ourselves. Not against somebody else, but against the calling that God has given us. We measure ourselves according to the sphere of influence that God has given us. And if we look in the Wüst translation, it says, "But as for us, we will not boast without proper standards of measurement, but in accordance with the measure of the measuring rule which God apportioned to us as a measuring unit that reaches even up to you." And then Wüst expands in brackets saying, "Paul's divinely appointed field of service." And isn't that beautiful? He's saying, I won't measure myself against others. I won't measure myself against others' calling. I'm going to measure myself against what God has told me to do. Whether I'm living up to what God has asked me to do, that's the measure that I want to measure. Am I fulfilling the will of God? Am I doing what God has told me? Am I thriving in the gifting that God has given me and obeying His specific and unique call for my life? Because that's where we find fulfillment and that's where we find joy. In the Message, the same passage says this, "But in all this comparing and grading and competing, they quite miss the point. We aren't making outrageous claims here. We're sticking to the limits of what God has set for us to do. But there can be no question that those limits reach to and include you. We're not moving into someone else's territory. We were already there with you, weren't we? We were the first ones to get there with the message of Christ, right? So how can there be any question of overstepping our bounds by writing or visiting you? We're not barging in on the rightful work of others, interfering with their ministries, demanding a place in the sun with them. What we're hoping for is that as your lives grow in faith, you'll play a part within our expanding work, and we'll all still be within the limits God sets as we proclaim the message in countries beyond Corinth. But we have no intention of moving in on what others have done or taking credit for it. If you want to claim credit, claim it for God. What you say about yourself means nothing in God's work. It's what God says about you that makes all the difference." And I love the way the Message just unpacks that. He says, don't go with that comparing. Go to the lane that God has given you. Go to the sphere that God has given you. Be responsive to the call that God has given you. Don't try to get in on other people's lane. Don't try to get in on their ministries. Don't try to be somebody else. Be yourself. I learned that lesson quite early in my preaching ministry. The earliest times I preached the sermon, and afterwards a friend of mine came up to me and he said, "Bruce, that was a good sermon, but what was that strange English accent you had?" And I went and listened to the tape, and there was this one preacher that I really admired, and he had this like, "Oh, tell you young people," he had like an English accent, and I realized that I had inadvertently adopted his accent just out of respect for him. And I'm so glad a friend of mine told me, "Bruce, what the heck was that?" And you got to be authentic, be yourself, use your voice, don't say "praise God" and put an American accent on or any other thing that doesn't fit you. Don't try to do the ministry that you're not called to do. Like, I'm glad I never thought I should give singing a try, because that would have been disastrous. A way to empty churches fast. I don't know if you noticed me putting words into the song today. It's like, oh, wait a minute, no one else is singing that. J.B. Phillips says this, "No, we shall not make any wild claims, but simply judge ourselves by the line of duty which God has marked out for us." Isn't that beautifully freeing? Just to be faithful and obedient, to be the blessing that God has called us to be to the people that God has called us. And Paul says that. He says, we were with you guys first. We were there. And one of the ways to know is who's God called me to is look around you at the people around you. And God's called you there to be a blessing. And there might be an introvert that can identify with your introversion. Or there might be extroverts or people who just need your extroversion. People that can identify with your testimonies. People that just need the gift of love or grace or giving or caring or or prophecy that you have, and the great cargo, the steward of the cargoes. I don't actually know all my ship interests. I don't know what that's called, but just dishing out, distributing the blessing that God has put into our lives. In that, and that's the last word in that passage that we're looking at, in that there is an incredible freedom and there is an incredible joy. When you're not trying to do things you're not meant to do, not trying to push into other people's gifting, but you're actually doing that which you were wired for, that which you are gifted for, that which you are skilled at, and that which you are awesome at. And Galatians, back to Galatians 6 verse 3, in the New English Translation, it says this: "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each one examine his own work. Then he can take pride in himself and not compare himself with someone else. For each one must carry his own load." The last thing that I really enjoyed was that word "take pride in" can also translate glorying or rejoicing. The New King James puts it like this: having let each one examine his own work, then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And I love that sense of the joy of doing what God has called you to do. The power of that. Not worrying. Just knowing I'm measuring up and doing the thing that God has called me to do. And Hebrews 12 verse 1 to 2 says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God." The Strong's Dictionary of Greek defines that endurance as cheerful or hopeful endurance. And there's a cheerfulness when we're doing, even if it's hard, even if it takes sweat, if it takes perseverance, even if it's against the wind, even if it's through the storm, even if it's against opposition, we enjoy it because we know there's a joy set before us, there's a finishing line. And we're doing what God called us to do. And it says there, "For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. He ran his course. He crossed the finishing line. And he finished the work of God, bringing salvation to the world through his death on the cross." And then going and entering into incredible joy. Psalm 19 verse 4 says this. It's talking about the sun. It's a beautiful picture, poetic picture. "In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course." And I love that. I remember when you're young and fit, and you run with that strength of youth, and able to do this, and able to finish, and just the joy of that, and the joy of using the gifts that God has given, using the strength, using the personality, in the way that he intended. There's such a joy in that. And Peter learned this. Because again, we look at Peter and we see, what did Peter learn? And let's look at 1 Peter 4 verse 10 to 11. And he says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves the strength that God supplies. By the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus. To him belong the glory, the dominion, forever and ever. Amen." I love that, the varied grace of God. In the Greek it's like mottled, dappled. It's all these different colors. It's all these different patterns. It's made up of so many different giftings and unique people and purposes, that we all together bring something of God to the world. Something of the grace and the unmerited favor and the blessing of God to the world. Something of the personality and the beauty of Jesus reflected in us. And Peter says, come on guys, you're all different. And that's what makes it so beautiful. That's what makes this dappled body of so many varieties and colors and variations so beautiful, so capable of reaching a diverse world. And do what God has called you to do. Shoulder the load that you've been given. Bring the cargo that's in your hold. and give it to the world. Don't leave it there. Unpack it for the blessings of the world. And through that, God is glorified. And just a couple of other versions of Galatians 6 verse 4, the J.B. Phillips again says, let every man learn to assess properly the value of his own work. Then he can be glad when he has done something worth doing without the dependence on the approval of others. Isn't that beautiful? To do the job that God has called you and be glad in it, not worrying about John or Peter or James. Just what God has called us, and looking up and seeing the pleasure in the Father's eyes and saying, well done, you got that gift, you got through the storm, you brought that blessing, that cargo to people. Every minute you spend wishing you had someone else's life is a minute you're wasting your own. Let's be free of it. Wish I could say I was probably completely. It's a journey. Run the race that God has called us. And just to close, Message puts it beautifully. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of us must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. And isn't that beautiful? We are His workmanship. All of us have got some service to bring to the body of Christ. All of us have got some gift to show the world what God is like. A cargo hold full of blessing. A lane to run in. Let's do it with joy. Let's not leave the cargo there. But let's not compare. Let's not despise the cargo that's within us. But let it be brought and unpacked to an empty and needy world. Lord, thank you for your word to us today. It's wonderful in its simplicity, but it's a thing that we get caught in, Lord. If we're honest, we get caught in probably more than we would like, Lord. And I just pray that you would free our hearts from this, Lord. I pray for us as a community, as a dappled, as a mottled, as a multicolored, kaleidoscopic community, to reflect the varied graces of God, to bring the varied graces of God. Help each one of us to understand what our gifting is. Help each one of us, Lord, to run in the lane with joy, the course that is marked before us. Help each one of us, Lord God, to not despise the cargo in our hold, and just to bring it, Lord God, to a hungry world, Lord. Unpack it. And distribute it for your glory. Work in our hearts, I pray, Holy Spirit. Free us, Lord, to live in the freedom of this, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship the Lord.